Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome Covenant House California Director of OC Programming, Polly Williams. Thank you, Polly, for being on Impact OC.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
Polly, I understand Covenant House California believes no young person deserves to be homeless, that every young person in California deserves shelter, food, clothing, education, and most importantly, to be loved. How are you helping young people at risk for being homeless?
Yeah, sure. So Covenant House California really lives its mission. So we really believe that no young person should be on the streets without proper care and support. And so in January of this year, we opened a 25-bed emergency shelter in Anaheim for youth experiencing homelessness aged 18 to 24. So youth can come in off the streets, receive meals, you know, hot foods, bed, support, and just really kind of find their way after very traumatic experiences, often on the streets.
Explain the demographics of the youth.
So we have both male and female. We also have youth with backgrounds in terms of like our trans youth, LGBTQ youth. We actually have a higher majority of males experiencing homelessness than females at the moment.
What are the ages?
Ages are 18 to 24. The majority of our youth are towards the younger, so around 18 to 22.
And what have they experienced that caused them to be homeless?
You know, it's really different for each youth. Some youth, they turn 18 and they're kicked out of home. Other youth, they've got histories of trauma in and out of juvenile justice, foster care. Other youth have been survivors of sex trafficking. Other youth have lost jobs and in COVID lost their apartments and ended up on the streets as well.
So how do you connect with them?
So we actually get a lot of referrals from other organizations in Orange County. They refer the youth to us and a lot of youth also through 211 or through word of mouth from other youth.
So are they on the streets and then you connect with them and try to help them?
Yeah, so we engage them over a conversation over the phone. We actually unfortunately have a waiting list of 82 youth, which is heartbreaking and really quite shocking. And with only 25 beds, we, you know, there's so many youth who we can't get in. So we connect with the youth who are on our wait list and we offer them to come to the shelter and get a meal and have a shower and get some hygiene and just stay connected with us. So they still know there's a support network there, even though they're not in our shelter right now. But when they come in, we already know the youth and they're connected and they're supported.
And then they go back on the street to live?
They do. Some may get into another shelter. There's other adult shelters that some of the youth go into, although we know it's not the best place for a youth to be in an adult shelter. Often they're very they're victimized, feel very uncomfortable with older, you know, the older population of homeless people. So they may, couch surf. They may be in a car. They may be in, you know, a bush. They may be put their money together with some other youth and get a motel room for a while.
So explain the Anaheim facility.
Yeah, so the Anaheim facility, it's really a beautiful facility. It's an old farmhouse. It was one of the oldest farms in Anaheim. And so we've really had intentional design to keep it homely. So it's not doesn't look institutionalized. It doesn't look like juvenile hall or anything like that. It looks and feels like a home. We have 25 beds on site there. We have case managers there. We have three meals a day. We have this fantastic chef, Diane, who cooks awesome meals that the youth really love. We do lots of different kind of programming, from recreational programming, going hiking, to on-site creative, like creative arts, expression. We do like video game tournaments and just, you know, different activities that will connect the youth and help them kind of connect and with the staff and engage and start building those relationships. Because, you know, youth come in and they're scared. They've been victimized by adults. They're not trusting of adults, which is understandable. So over time, we start to build rapport and engage. And we really know that the better our relationship is with the youth, the better we are able to support them.
So how long can they stay there?
So we actually don't have a time limit on the length of stay right now. Some youth come in for a couple of days and then leave, and then other youth have been with us a few months.
And you have a value communication structure, choice, supportive services. Why don't you kind of go through some of those?
Yeah, sure. So especially with our supportive services, so when a youth comes in, we really try and give them some space to just kind of decompress. There's been a lot of trauma. They've come in. So we give them some time just to work out kind of what it is they need to do. Do they need to sleep for a few days? Do they need medical care, mental health care? And then we work with the youth around what they want to do for a little bit more long term. Are they looking to maybe go back to school? Are they looking to get a job? And so we work with them for the youth to come up with their own goals. And then we really walk alongside the youth to help them meet the goals that they want to do for them to, you know, take the next step in their life in order to get off the streets.
So when you connect with them, do they have any clothes with them, or are they just living on the street with the clothes on their back?
A bit of both. Some youth have quite a lot of things. You know, some youth have come from living in their car, so they've got things in their car. Other youth turn up with the clothes on their back, and that's okay too. We have clothing there for the youth. We have hygiene products. So whatever really the youth needs, we meet their immediate needs straight away, you know, hot meal, showers. And then from there, we can figure it out. You know, we just help the youth to feel safe for a while. And then we go from there in terms of what the youth wants to do in their next steps.
And I have to believe there's a difference between a homeless youth and a homeless, more older adult.
Yeah, sure. Our homeless youth are often victimized. Being on the street, they're very at risk for, you know, human trafficking, sex trafficking in particular. And also in ways to, you know, raise money to buy food, having to, you know, beg, borrow, steal, survival sex to get money to, you know, to buy food. So they're really at risk of not just, you know, others, but also the risks of some of the activities or things they have to do to raise some money. Yeah.
Do you try to connect them with their families?
Yeah, we do. One of our, you know, questions with the youth is around any supportive family members, because, you know, often there is a supportive family members. So we try and work to reunify that youth back with that family member. Sometimes it takes time. Other times there's some counselling and there's some mediation between the parties to come to terms. Sometimes it's a lost aunt or a grandparent that will say, yeah, you know, I'll have this youth come and live with us. And so we'll support that youth for a while they, you know, they integrate back into the family business. So, yeah, as much as we can to provide the youth with the support to go back to family, if it's safe and if that's what the youth wants.
Can you walk us through one experience with at least one youth that you guys found on the street and then got them services and then whatever happened with that person?
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to think of one youth in particular. It was a young trans youth who came in, very scared, really didn't communicate much. She very much kept to herself. Over time, she really came out of her shell. She would start asking questions and asking for support for some services, which was great. We were able to link her to the Orange County LGBT Center, which was a fantastic resource as well, linked to mental health and some other kind of physical health. And then over the course of a couple of months, actually, she started to re-engage with a family member up north, Northern California. So we helped her get all the things and make that trek up to Northern California, and she's doing well. She's got a job up there, and she's stable. And she keeps connection with Covenant House with her case manager and checks in and says, hi, I'm here, thank you for everything. And it's lovely. It's really great when the youth reach back out and let us know where they're at and what they're doing.
So she was found on the street?
She was on the street and very at risk as a young trans woman. And so we got her in as soon as possible. Sometimes when we don't have a bed available, we'll have like an emergency overnight. So we may have 2-3 youth sleeping on the couch, sleeping on mats on the floor, just to get them off the streets for that night. And then in the morning, we'll figure it out.
And when they live at the facility, mm-hmm. do they have duties and chores?
Yeah, they do. The youth really should be keeping their bedrooms clean and like the multi-purpose rooms and the areas you know, that they live in and congregate in. And they're actually really good. I think being a smaller facility of like, you know, 20, 25 youth, that they actually work with each other to keep things clean, and they help really support each other in a different way that like a bigger, you know, 100-bed shelter would do. So they support each other around, you know, keeping rooms clean. They help each other out. They remind each other, hey, you know, let's not keep our food there. Let's pick this up. So the youth really kind of like monitor each other. It's quite interesting.
So if we have Covenant House California, but mm-hmm. there's Covenant Houses all over.
Yeah, so Covenant House International has around 33 sites across the US, Canada, and Latin America. And in California, in terms of Covenant House California, we have six sites up and down the coast.
Can you name some of them?
Yeah, so we have a shelter in Oakland. We also have another shelter in Oakland called Dreamcatcher, which is specifically for minors 17 and under who are survivors of sex trafficking. We have a transitional living program in Santa Clara. We have another program that was using old FEMA trailers as a kind of stopgap of their shelter being built right now, called Yay. And then we have our big facility in Hollywood.
So when they connect with you, are they feeling that there's hope for their lives? Because still, they're young. They don't know what their future holds.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, and that's one thing that we really work on. We really work from a strength-based perspective in that, you know, the youth has so many attributes, and even though they're in this terrible situation and they've gone through this horrible trauma, they are strong and they are worthy, and we are going to love and support them no matter what. And we really instill that in the youth when they come in, and all our staff, that's the way we work with our staff. You know, we call it relentless engagement, and we don't stop engaging with that youth, even when they might be mad at us, they want us to go away. They know that we're still going to be there because we're consistent and we provide that love and support and we don't judge.
What would you say the most kind of trauma that they have?
There's a lot of different ones, from being sex trafficked, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse, a lot of violence, gang violence. It's really individual in terms of each individual youth.
Wow. What kind of volunteers do you have?
So because we're a small facility and we've only kind of started, our volunteering at the moment has really looked like different groups, some church groups, some mothers groups, like making meals and dropping meals off to the shelter, which is really lovely. At Christmas right now, we have different groups making stockings, stuffing stockings for the youth. And we also have some volunteer groups who have really taken on our rapid rehousing program, which we will have 40 youth over the next 2 years moving into their own apartments to help set up those apartments. So these are youth that have absolutely nothing going into their own apartments. So it can be everything from a fridge to the dining table to cutlery to bedding. And so different groups in the community have said that, you know, every time you have a youth go in, we'll get their bedding. And other groups are, we'll get their cutlery. Or we'll do a welcome basket. So we have different groups kind of participating in that way. We are a small facility, so on-site volunteering, usually about maximum of 5 to 7, and that may be coming on and doing like an activity, doing yoga, doing some creative arts, that kind of stuff. It's like our kitchen's kind of small, so we don't have a lot of people that can cook, but come in and, you know, and help serve a meal.
How are you funded?
We're funded through the County of Orange, and then we also fundraise a considerable amount as well to match the funding we get.
Now, this rapid rehousing, how is that going to work?
So rapid rehousing, the young people are on the Orange County TAE CES, Coordinated Entry System. And so every 2 weeks there's a match meeting, and so youth are matched throughout the county to rapid rehousing. Once they're matched to rapid rehousing, we work with them to look at kind of what their needs are around housing. Do they want to try and get their own apartment? Is that a viable option? Would they prefer to rent a room? So it just depends kind of what the youth is wanting to do, looking at what their budget is. And then we help the youth like look at different apartments, put in applications. So we have subsidized and funding to help put in applications to transport the youth to, you know, different sites to have a look, and then put down the deposit and security. And then we have the flexibility of working for the next 2 years to support that youth to stay in their housing. And then after that 2 years, they can continue with their lease, or they might want to move to another property. But they've had 2 years of support and living independently within those properties.
But don't they have to generate an income to do this?
Not necessarily. We really work from a housing first model. So it's really taking a youth and putting them in housing and then wrapping all the programs around them that they might need to live in that apartment. We really believe that a youth needs to come off the street as much as possible, or leave that shelter situation and go into permanent housing. And then we just wrap those services around them and support them.
Is it possible there could be homeless youth and we don't know it?
That is what's happening at the moment. I mean, to consider that we have 83 youth alone just on our wait list. And the last point in time count that the county did at the start of the year, actually, there was only 109 unsheltered youth counted. But we know that our youth in Orange County is quite different to, like, say, LA County or Hollywood. Here, the youth aren't necessarily street-based. They're sleeping on friends' couches. They're, you know, doubling up in cars, in vans. It's very different, so it's very hard to count. So we don't have an accurate number, but 109 is not accurate at all.
So when we hear of someone who's living unhoused, there's a terminology, unhoused or homeless. Is there a preference for terminology?
In the youth field, we talk about inexperience. And we put the it's like a person first sentence. So we say a youth experiencing homelessness, because we don't think that homelessness should define that young person. That young person is an individual in a situation. So we say youth experiencing homelessness, because in 6 months that's just their experience and they're off hopefully doing something else.
So a youth experiencing homelessness is what the Covenant House California prefers, and that's the terminology that they use.
Yeah.
And when you get them off the street, get them into the housing, what kinds of things do you see in their success rates?
So we're just starting the program. Up in Hollywood and Northern California, they've been doing rapid rehousing for a while. You know, the model's going to work for some youth. It's not going to work for all youth. Not all youth are quite ready. Like, if you think of yourself at 18, 19, 20, I mean, I wasn't ready to settle down in my own apartment. I was, you know, living with friends and, you know, doing all traveling and all this kind of stuff. So it's going to work for some youth who are kind of ready and wanting that to settle down and to learn all the independent living skills. And for other youth, after 2 years or 6 months, they may want to move on. So it's just kind of, it's going to be dependent. It's going to be interesting to see how we go in Orange County with rapid rehousing and the outcomes that the youth kind of make for themselves.
If people want to help you out, what can they do?
Yeah, sure. So we would love volunteers or groups or anyone that wants to help. And so I'll give our main line number, which is 562-379-4110. So that's our main line to Covenant House, California, Orange County in Anaheim. So you can always call and ask to speak to our community involvement coordinator, and then she can talk you through different volunteer activities or how to get involved.
Give us that number again.
Sure. It's 562-379-4110. That's also the same main line that if a youth who is experiencing homelessness or is in trouble can call. And we have staff 24/7 that will answer the phone.
What about a website?
Sure, yeah, covenanthousecalifornia.org. Go there. They've got all their different locations there as well, so you can click on Anaheim and then get connected that way too, yeah.
And do you enjoy working for this organization?
I love Covenant House. I love the mission. It really aligns with my values. I love that we work in a way that it's kind of like very independent and very what works for each individual youth.
And when you're dealing with youth, mm-hmm. I mean, they don't know, and you just got to brighten their futures.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, we work from a really positive space, and that we believe in change, and that we believe all young people, you know, possess their own skills and their own strength to make that change. And we're just here to guide them and offer support and some direction. We're not here to tell them what to do, because we feel that the youth should be empowered to make their own decisions about their future and what they want to do.
So they get out of the victim side and mm-hmm. get into the empowerment side mm-hmm. to have a successful future.
Yeah, very much so. We really empower the youth to make their own decisions, to choose what resources, to choose the medical support they might want to do, the mental health support, going back to school, whatever it might be. We'll just walk alongside that youth and just help them navigate the system. The system can be hard for not just young people, but for everyone. So we just help navigating that, you know, making appointments and just walking alongside the youth. You know, we're not trying to make them achieve things that they don't want to do and goals that are our goals as opposed to the youth's goals. Like we want the youth to achieve their goals.
And when you have volunteers that help out a bit, they're really focused on them.
Yeah, for sure. It's lovely having volunteers come in, because it really shows the youth that there are people in the community that care, you know, that are coming here on their own time and want to spend some time and be around the youth. So it's really lovely. It brings a different dynamic when we have volunteers on site.
What are your goals for the future for this organization?
So going forward, we would really love to build our number of housing, kind of different housing services in Orange County. So looking at like permanent housing, different apartment options, some transitional housing as well, so they could leave the shelter and go into transitional housing before going to permanent housing. Not all young people are ready to go from shelter to permanency. So a little bit in between where they can really learn some individual life skills. So really looking at trying to build a continuum of support and continuum of housing services from shelter all the way to permanent supportive housing.
And could permanent supportive housing be anywhere in Orange County?
Yeah, absolutely anywhere. We work with all the youth countywide. We're not restricted in terms of spas or different areas or by cities.
And are you working with the cities to try to create this permanent housing?
Yeah, we're working with, the County of Orange is fantastic. And also the City of Anaheim has just been fantastic with us and really supported us to get the shelter there. And so we work with everyone, and everyone has been really supportive of us so far. So hopefully we can get some more shelter beds, because we've got 82 other youth on the streets right now. But, you know, it takes time. Things take time.
Thank you, Covenant House California Director of OC Programming, Polly Williams, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.